Yes. Amen. Haggai chapter 2. Joel chapter 2. Zechariah chapter 10. Hallelujah. You should be able to find them quickly because they're books I'm confident you read every day. Amen. They're not necessarily books I read every day. Amen. Hallelujah. Good books. Hallelujah. Haggai, Joel, Zechariah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to talk about the former. Now, Hosea is right after the book of Daniel, if you can find the book of Daniel more easily. Amen. Joel, of course, is right after Hosea. And Haggai is 8 books after Joel. Amen. Praise be to God. You get those marked. We'll read them together shortly here. Amen. We're going to talk about the former and the latter glory combined today. Amen. But let me just remind you, I am the pastor. My job is to root out sin, not to supervise it. Amen? Hallelujah. Amen? Thank you very much for that. Amen? Hallelujah. Compromise with evil is worse than defeat. It's worse than defeat. Compromising with evil is worse than defeat. I'd rather go down obeying God than go down compromising with evil to keep these seats filled with people who don't want to live right. Amen? Hear what I said? I would rather go down obeying God. We're not going to go down, by the way. I'm just stating my preference. I would rather go down obeying God than go down compromising with people who don't want to live right just to keep these seats filled. I have to tell you, I don't want people sitting in here who live in sin. I don't want them sitting in here. They compromise the glory. We'll get more done with 12 right living people than we'll get done with 120 compromisers. You realize that? Sin grieves God. Amen? Aren't you glad you have enough sense that when you blow it to run to God and get forgiveness and cleansing and not run from them? Amen? So I just want to make that statement to you this morning as we begin. Amen? Compromise with evil is worse than defeat. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. And that's a guarantee that as the pastor, God will put me and us up and over. We're not going down and under. Amen? Hallelujah. So, as I said last week, and I meant it, it got a couple of laughs, and that's good. Amen? But I meant it when I said it. My job is to root out evil, not supervise it. Amen? Hallelujah. We've been talking about what around here on Sunday mornings? Miracles in the glory. Amen? We talked about what the glory is. Amen? We went way back there in 2 Chronicles chapter 5, and we saw the glory of God manifest, fill up the temple at the building of Solomon's temple as they were praising God and thanking God for His goodness and His mercy. And the glory of God came in that temple and filled that place to the point where everybody was falling down like they're drunk on the floor, receiving supernatural manifestations in their bodies wherever they needed it, I'm sure. Amen? We saw what the glory is. We saw that the Bible says in Romans chapter 6 that God used the glory of God to raise Jesus from the dead. You remember that way back there, long time ago? Amen? Long time ago. That's what they say in the Midwest. Long time ago. Amen? I learned how to say those things when I hooked up with Barbara in Oklahoma. I was just a Yankee when I first went out to Oklahoma, and Barbara said, "You want some okra?" I said, "No, I don't watch okra. She don't believe in Jesus." I thought okra with a talk show host. Okay, enough of that. Pardon me? You fry it and you eat it. Amen. We'd suggest you don't watch Oprah. She's pushing universalism in a great big way. There's many routes to God she's pushing. Amen. We don't believe that. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Amen. There's only one way to God. So we saw the glory of God in Romans chapter 6, rose Jesus from the dead. But we also saw in Romans chapter 8 that the Holy Spirit rose Jesus from the dead. Which could only mean the glory is the Holy Spirit in manifestation. We saw in Exodus chapter 33, when Moses was up on the mountain, he said, God, show me your glory. And God said, all right, I'll show you my goodness. The glory is the goodness. The glory is the Holy Spirit. Amen. And we saw it can manifest as a cloud, as smoke, as vapor. Lightning-like shafts of splendor Hosea saw come out of the hand of God. I explained to you how those lightning-like shafts of splendor came out of my hand that night when I was laying my hands on Barbara, blew my arm back, bang, an explosion in the room. The room filled with light, and within 2 days, a tumor that had developed in Barbara's body literally fell from her body.
Amen.
Say glory.
Glory.
That's why we say glory.
Amen.
Because that's a manifestation of the glory. It's sometimes visible. It's oftentimes invisible. But when it's in manifestation, the supernatural always occurs. Amen? So, we talked about what God's glory was. Amen? I'm just kind of doing a quick review. Amen? Hallelujah. We saw that God's glory indwelled a tent tabernacle in the wilderness initially when God delivered Israel from Egypt. They're out in the wilderness. God gave Moses instructions to build a tent tabernacle. And God would indwell that tent tabernacle. Amen. Sometimes you could see the manifestation of glory. Sometimes that tent tabernacle would light up. Sometimes a cloud would be over it. But it always meant God's in the house. Amen. Hallelujah. We saw 650 years later that Solomon built a permanent tabernacle to God, a stone tabernacle. And God indwelt a compartment in that stone tabernacle, which was called the Holy of Holies. And the Holy of Holies separated itself from all the other rooms in the temple by a curtain that was 40 feet wide, 20 feet tall, and 4 inches thick. And only the high priest could go in there. When God was in residence. Amen? Anybody else went in there? They died. The priest went in there. He did anything contrary to the way that God told Moses to tell him to do things. He'd die too. And he had a rope on his leg. And they'd pull him on out. Drag him on out of there. And they'd go down to the union hall and get another priest to minister on their behalf. Amen? And when Jesus went to the cross, we saw in Mark chapter 15. Supernaturally, someone or something grabbed that 4-inch thick tapestry and ripped it right down the middle. Could only have been the hand of God or the hand of a supernaturally strong angel. Can you imagine ripping something, a piece of cloth 4 inches thick? Even the power team can't do that. You ever see the power team? See those guys? Oh man, you need to go online, look up the power team. Amen. They go around, they're former weightlifters, former professional wrestlers and boxers, former professional football players, all born again, filled with the Holy Ghost. And they go around demonstrating natural feats. But in some ways, they appear to be supernatural. They take water bottles and blow them up. You know, hot water bottles, the big rubber ones? Blow them up until they get so huge, boom, they explode. Can you imagine having the lung capacity and the muscular development in your chest and upper body that you can do that? They rip phone books in half. One guy shows up at every appearance with his lunch in a refrigerator tied to his back. And he comes walking on the platform with the refrigerator. He brings the lunch man. He brings his lunch with him. They break piles of rocks, 8-10 feet cinder blocks, 8-10 feet tall, get up on a platform, whack it with their head, and you see the repercussion go all the way down, boom, 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 and break all those stones. And then they get all the young people and old people all excited about Jesus. Every time they perform a feat of wonder, they say, now I want you to know, only Jesus enables me to do things like this. They give all the glory to God. They have led hundreds of thousands of people to the Lord doing those demonstrations. They do an altar call after. You don't know who the power team is? Hallelujah. Maybe we need to look at having the power team come to Cape Cod. Amen. Oh, it's just spectacular. Amen. But even those guys couldn't take a 4-inch thick veil, tapestry curtain, and rip. They take telephone books and just rip them in half like they're envelopes, those dudes. They're huge, monstrous guys. But even one of those guys couldn't rip that 4-inch thick tapestry that separated God from the people. Something ripped it that day in Mark chapter 15 when Jesus died there on the cross and he said, it is finished. He hung his head, his spirit left his body, and that veil was supernaturally ripped in half, indicating that all are welcome in the Holy of Holies. As a matter of fact, God came out of the Holy of Holies to indwell human flesh. And we took you the last time we were together through scripture after scripture in the New Testament where Paul and the Apostle Peter showed us that we are now the dwelling place of God's glory. He doesn't live in a tent tabernacle anymore. He doesn't live in a stone tabernacle anymore. He lives in you and he lives in me because we're born again. Amen? Because the blood of Jesus has cleansed us from our sin, we are now a pure dwelling place for God. Isn't that amazing? The glory lives in you. The glory lives in me. The Holy Ghost lives in you. He's the glory, so the glory lives in you. The goodness of God lives on the inside of you, lives on the inside of me. And when we come together worshiping, that's why I always encourage you, please lift your hands. Tell them you love them. Lift your hands. Tell them you love them. Because when we come together, as what Peter called lively stones, there's more glory available. I come with my glory. You come with yours. You come with yours, Helen. Josh, you come with yours. Jane, you. Ginny, you. We all come. Gertrude comes with hers. Amen. Rachel comes with hers. Barbara comes with. We all come together and worship God. There's the potential for greater manifestations of glory. If only we'll just worship Him. He said He inhabits the praises of His people. So if He inhabits the praises of His people, if He's there when we're praising Him alone, how much more is He there when we're praising Him together? I've seen great manifestations of glory in the presence of people who praised God, knew how to just come together in one accord and praise Him. Amen? Well, where are we going to go here today, Father? That's just a quick little review of everything that we've covered in the past few weeks here. Today we want to talk about the former and the latter glory combined. I'm sure you've heard of the former glory. I'm sure you've heard of the latter glory, the former rain, the latter rain. Some of you have heard about it. You've wondered about it. You don't know exactly what it is. We're going to look at it here today. Amen. We're living in the times of the latter glory. And we are within our jurisdiction to expect great outpourings of God's glory, His Holy Spirit, His goodness in these last days. Amen. You have been appointed to be in this earth for such a time as this. Amen. There are people in this room today, you are going to experience the greatest outpouring of God's glory that has ever occurred in the history of humanity. We are on the cusp, is that the word? We're on the cusp of the greatest revival. Yes, Lord. Yes, okay, we'll do that. James chapter 5, you go there. Hallelujah. This is the Holy Spirit now, see? Hallelujah. The greatest revival that humanity has ever seen. Well, I'm looking around, Pastor, I don't see it. Well, you won't see it either with an attitude like that, amen? But if you'll expect it, if you'll believe it, we'll go through some scriptures here today and stir your faith for it. And if you release faith for it, you'll be right in the middle of what God is about to do in this earth. Amen. As a matter of fact, you go to James chapter 5. God gave me a vision of what He's about to do in the earth. In 2004, Barbara and I were just sitting on the side of the bed praying, and I got caught up in the Spirit. I mean, I got taken right up into the Spirit world, and I was up there with Jesus looking down on planet Earth. actually on the United States of America, actually on the northeast quadrant of the United States of America. And as I zoomed in, I could see that what I was looking at were the six New England states. And God gave me a vision of this glory that's presently in the earth now, soon to be poured out right here in the northeast quadrant of the United States to sweep across America and to go to the nations of the world. You can read that vision. When I was caught up in the vision, I was praying in tongues and prophesying. I was talking to Jesus and He was talking to me. The Holy Spirit would speak to me and I would repeat what He said. Barbara grabbed the little hand tape recorder and recorded the whole thing. How long was I in the Spirit for that? About 45 minutes. I'm up there, me and Jesus and the Holy Ghost, looking down on the United States of America. Can you imagine that? You should read that on our website, johnhamelministries.org. On the home page, it's called, I Want Them All. Jesus said to me, He showed me millions of people coming into the kingdom, just in the United States alone. And He said to me, I want it all, I want them all. And that's why I call it, I Want Them All. Jesus said to me in the vision, I want them all. Amen? You got to go read it, particularly where we're teaching on the glory. Because that's what we're going to see in this earth. And it's going to come to the world through the northeastern United States. Now, how interesting that within how long after I had that, did someone else have what they call their wake-up vision? Within 4 months of the Lord showing that to me, it was confirmed by Dr. Oral Roberts, who had basically the same vision that I had 4 months later. Woo! Hallelujah. Now that's some good company. Amen. Pastor, are you saying God showed you the glory's coming before He showed Brother Oral? I guess. I mean, it was 4 months earlier. Amen. I don't care about notoriety. That's not why I'm saying that. Amen. I don't come to church to be recognized. Amen. I don't come to church to be received. I come to church to receive. I live for God to receive from God. Amen. I'm just telling you what He showed me. And then He turned around 4 months later and showed the same thing to one of our precious mentors, Dr. Oral Roberts. Matter of fact, you can even watch Brother Roberts tell of that testimony at kcm.org. You go to Brother Copeland's website. When Brother Roberts had his vision of the coming outpouring of God's glory in the United States of America, 4 months after I had mine, I'm not saying I'm better than all because I came first. I don't know why God did that. Probably because He's merciful. Amen? But you go to kcm.org and it's called the wake-up call. Brother Copeland, when Brother Roberts called Brother Copeland and shared the vision that God had given to him, Brother Copeland brought him out to Benny Hinn's TV studio in Texas. Brother Hinn loaned him the TV studio, and they taped 5 programs, is that right? And ran them for a week after that, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, called the wake-up call at kcm.org under broadcast. Go watch them. And then also go to our website and read what the Lord showed me. Read the I Want Them All vision. Glory to God! Hallelujah! You are about to be right in the middle of the greatest outpouring of God's Spirit in the history of the human race. Well, glory be to God. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad I'm not the kind of guy that says, God, I'm not going down there and telling nobody unless there's 600 people down there. I'm going down there telling a dozen to two people down there any such thing as that. Listen, you're here on purpose. I'm here on purpose. You're chosen of God. His hand's upon your life. Jesus said no man can come to God unless the Father draws him. You were drawn here today to hear this. Do you believe that? Aren't you glad you obeyed that alarm clock this morning and got down here, even though some of you just, you woke up, you didn't want to come. You know how I know? Because I woke up and I didn't want to come. Hallelujah. Said I can imagine what it's like for some of them. Amen. But I got right away. I said, no, Lord, I want to obey you. I told you 28 years ago, you deliver me from drugs and alcohol. I'll give you my life. I'll do anything you tell me to do. I don't care what it looks like to anybody. I care what it looks like to God. Hallelujah. Now the Lord said, go to James chapter 5. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'll get to my notes, I think. Hallelujah. Look at what the Lord, this is what the Lord just put in my heart. Go to James 5:7. That's what he said. Go to James 5:7. Be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Quit those selfish prayers that say, oh, come Lord Jesus. It ain't just about you, honey. There's people who got to be saved before Jesus can come. Amen? That's a selfish prayer to pray. Early on in my Christian experience, I saved about a year and a half, and I was praying that way. Oh, Jesus, please come. Oh, Jesus, I'm so tired of this world. Please come. Please come. Please come. And I heard the Spirit of the Lord say into my spirit, I'll have to paraphrase it because I can't remember it specifically, but it's basically what he said. Oh, sure, that would be great for you, but what about all the people who would go to hell if I came right now? So, oh, Jesus, hold it up. Oh, Jesus, hold back. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. Be patient, therefore. Be patient, amen. It's not just about us, amen. It's about the harvest that's coming. Be patient unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman, that's God, waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth. That's the unsaved. See, he's waiting to send Jesus until this harvest that we're talking about comes. And he has long patience for it until he receive the early and the latter rain, or the early and the latter glory. See, what this is talking about is, the early rain that he's talking about is when the glory was poured out on the early church. The latter rain is the latter glory that's going to be poured out on the present day, present age church that you're a part of, amen? Only he's going to combine the former glory of the early church with the latter glory of this church, and it's going to be a tremendous whopper of a harvest. We're talking billions of people coming into the kingdom. So, we're going to go this morning, and we're going to see how outstanding and how miraculous the early outpouring was on the early church. And it's stupendous, and it's supernatural, and it's miraculous, but it's nothing compared to what you're going to see in your lifetime if you believe it. Amen? You're here for such a time as this. So look at right here. Did you find Hosea? Let's just read a couple of verses, some prophetic verses concerning the glory. Did you see right there in James chapter 5, the Lord said to me, go to James 5:7. You see in there that he's waiting for the precious fruit of the earth? He's waiting for revival. He's waiting for this great harvest that's been prophesied by many prophets in the Old Testament. This tremendous harvest of souls that's coming just before Jesus comes. Yes, Jesus is coming, but not before the greatest harvest of souls. The greatest outpouring of glory that the world has ever known. Do you see that in what we just read? Don't you love the way I just pound things in here? Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. That's how I study. I pound it into myself. Look right here, Hosea 6, then in verse 3. Are you there? Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. His going forth or his coming is prepared as the morning, or as sure as the morning. It's just saying his coming is as sure as the morning. Does the sun come up every day? Then Jesus is coming, and he shall come unto us as the rain. That's just another term for the glory. He shall come to us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth. Now we're going to look at the latter and former rain, as I said, particularly the latter rain in the early church. Go to Joel 2. I just want you to read these prophetic verses where these men prophesied by the Spirit of God that the latter outpouring of the glory in the earth is going to be tremendously greater than the early outpouring of the church. Amen? Multiple times greater. Are you there in Joel 2? Are you there in Joel 2? Hallelujah. Verse 23. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God. For he hath given you, see, prophecy is history before it even happens. He's writing it in the past tense because he knows it's going to happen. He has given you the promise of the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain or the glory, the former rain, the early glory in the early church, and the latter rain in the first month. Amen. Listen, you know, even in the natural, in the springtime, the early rain comes down soft, so it won't rip the seed up out of the ground. In the springtime, when it rains for the farmer, it comes down soft, doesn't it? But the latter rain that comes in the fall, it's a downpouring, cats and dogs, and it's followed by tremendous abundance or tremendous harvest. That's why he's using the rain analogy. The rain is the glory. It's the goodness of God. It's the outpouring of his Spirit. Amen. The early rain in the early church was a soft rain. As tremendous as it was, and we're going to look at it. I should just have you go to Haggai chapter 2, and I'll stop getting ahead of myself here. Amen. The early rain is a soft rain. The early rain, the early outpouring of glory in the early church in the book of Acts, which we're going to look at, it was soft compared to what's going to happen. We are about to have a violent downpour of Holy Ghost rain, Holy Ghost glory, that's going to end up in tremendous harvest, tremendous abundance. You know, when it rains in the fall, people get annoyed by the fall rain. It comes down so hard, so heavy, but it's always followed by abundance. The same is, that's in the natural, amen? Abundant harvest, amen? It's got to rain in the fall, and then things supernaturally, it seems, multiply on the harvest field. The same is true in the spirit realm. This latter rain that we are about to experience, we're even on the cusp of it now. You're a part of, you're sitting in it this morning. It's going to bring tremendous, tremendous abundance of souls into the kingdom, and then, boom, suddenly, he's going to come. Haggai chapter 2. Look what God says. This is eight books after Joel. Say amen if you're there. Verse 7. And I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. He's talking about the glory. Then he starts talking about money. Why? Because it takes big bucks to preach a big gospel to a great big world. God's going to finance it. The silver, mine. The gold, it's mine, saith the Lord of hosts. Amen. He's just loaning it to the world's economies. Amen. And you see what that poor management's doing with it. Wait till God starts pouring it into the kingdom for the salvation of the lost. Amen. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former. Talking about the early church, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, the very next book over is Zechariah. Go to Zechariah chapter 10. I'm telling you, there's an outpouring that's coming. It's going to shake the nations of the world. You can go read about it on our website. The Lord, I'm so blessed and honored. The Lord took me up in the spirit realm and showed me just the beginning stages of it personally, right here in the northeast quadrant of the United States of America. You need to go there and read that. Amen? Hallelujah. And look for the guy whose grandfather, who I saw in the vision, that Lord, the Lord, oh, you got to read it. Amen? A man that came to me up out of the earth in the vision, he came right before me, that I met 8 months later. And he said the very things to me in person that he said to me in the vision, to confirm the reality of the vision. We led him to the Lord in the baptism with the Holy Ghost. He came and said the very words to me in a restaurant. Barbara was there. She recorded it. She heard me say it all. And then she sat in the restaurant beside me and looked at me as he said the very words that she recorded on that recorder. As it turned out, he's the grandson of Israel Regade, who was the secretary to Anton LaVey, the founder of the Church of Satan. He was his secretary. He was the Church of Satan secretary for 14 years. Israel Regade, this man's grandfather that we led to the Lord in the baptism with the Holy Ghost. He wrote a book, Israel Regade, called The Tree of Life. And it's a handbook. It's like a Bible to people who practice witchcraft and magic all over the world still today. It's promoted by the Church of Satan. This guy was raised in the Church of Satan. And he came to me in the vision and said the very word. Go and read. I want them all. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Why did God give that to you, Pastor? Probably to encourage me and to encourage you toward through hard times, through dry times, where it looks like nothing's happening. Nothing's happening. You know that song we sing, Revival? Revive us from the preacher preaching when the well is dry. Oh, Lord, I heard that song for the first time, and I thought, how'd he know me? Amen? Wrote that song about me. Maybe we ought to close that with that song here today. We got it with us, don't we? Well, let's do that. Amen. Zechariah 10:1. Please say, ask. Ask ye of the Lord rain or glory. See? Got to ask for it. And the time of the latter rain. That's the days we live in. So the Lord shall make bright clouds. That's just one of the ways the glory appears. You know that. And give them showers of rain to everyone grass in the field. Amen. Zechariah said to those of us who live in the last days, if you'll pray, if you'll ask for outpourings of the glory, there'll be outpourings of the glory. That's why the Lord told me to teach on the glory, so that you would have faith for the glory, and then you could pray for that which you developed faith for. Say, Father, I ask for the glory to be poured out, not only in my life, not only in my church, but in all the earth. For I see it's your will. In Jesus' name. You ought to drive around in the car thanking him for the glory, according to Zechariah 10:1. He said, if you'll ask, I'll pour it out. Well, why aren't we seeing more of the glory being poured out? There's an asking problem here happening in the earth. Amen? Hallelujah. Are living right in an asking problem. That's what you hear what Baba just said. People aren't living right either. Amen? Well, we're living right. Amen? And we're the Holy Spirit supernaturally rooting out from our midst those who aren't living right, who need to either repent, start living right, or go away until you repent. Now when you repent, come on back. But you can't sit here with sin in your life. Amen? You're hindering the glory. You're grieving the Spirit of God. Amen? So that's why I'm going to have a t-shirt made up that says on the back. It's going to say, Pastor, right here over the pocket. In the back, it's going to say, my job is to root out sin, not supervise it. And walk around the cape. Trader Joe's. Hallelujah. And walk backwards. Hallelujah. Go to Acts chapter 2. Hallelujah. The coming spiritual rain is going to be violent when contrasted to the former rain of the early church. Amen. The final harvest. But the book of Acts, as we're going to see, we're going to move quickly. Amen. So get your running shoes on this morning. The book of Acts gives us a picture of the early rain, or the former outpouring of the rain, or the former outpouring of God's glory. Amen. And it's great if you're acquainted with the book of Acts. You know a lot of the things we're going to read here today. There was a glorious outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts. 50 days after, beginning 50 days on the day of Pentecost. Beginning 50 days after Jesus rose from the dead. And it roared like fire through the Middle East. And, you know, in a world that wasn't all that heavily populated, there were thousands and thousands of people who came to God in just a few short days and weeks in the book of Acts. But it's powerful, but it's nothing like we're about to experience in this earth. Hallelujah. So here we go. Here's where it starts in Acts chapter 2. You ready to do some Bible reading today? Amen? You know you need to get caught up in your Bible reading. Amen? Amen? Well, we're going to get caught up here today in the book of Acts. We're going to look at a picture of the early rain. The early rain that Hosea, Joel, and Zechariah, and other of the prophets, Haggai said, what we're going to see is greater than what these folks saw. And this is great. Acts chapter 2, verse 1, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, They were all with one accord. See, nobody's lukewarm. Nobody living in sin. They're all in one accord. Amen? They're all living right, like you folks. Amen? Thank God for a handful of people who live right. Amen? I told you. I'll take a dozen to two right livers, then I'll take 100 or even 1,200 compromisers. This is what brings the glory. Amen? And I'm thankful for it. I got no complaints about any of you and the way things are going here. Amen? Now my flesh and my mind want to complain. I'm like you. I was birthed into this earth for success. This don't look like success. But Paul said, we walk by faith and not by sight. I am not moved by what I see, what I don't see. I'm moved by what I believe. And I believe what Haggai prophesied. I believe what Zechariah and Joel prophesied. I believe what Hosea prophesied. I believe what James prophesied. Hallelujah. I believe God told us to come here. Hallelujah. To be part of the last day outpouring of His Spirit. Amen. Fully come, they're all with one accord in one place. No lukewarm, no compromises. Amen? Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. There's 120 of these people here. You can read that in Acts 1:15. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. And it sat upon each of them. They're all just suddenly caught up in balls of fire. And they're all filled with the Holy Ghost, just like Jesus and Isaiah prophesied would happen. They're all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. And they were dwelling at Jerusalem, Jews and devout men out of every nation under heaven. And when this was noised abroad, apparently there was an explosion like an oil refinery exploded when the Holy Ghost hit the earth in earthly Jerusalem. And it could be heard from miles away, and people came running. When it was noised abroad, the multitude came running and were confounded because every man heard them speak in his own tongue. Whatever country you were from, you heard these people speaking in your tongue. If I was from Arabia, I heard them speaking in Arabic. If Barbara was from, I don't know where. Give me another nation. Amen? Egypt. She heard them speaking in Egyptian. They're speaking in tongues, but these people who came running heard the interpretation in their national language. Is that supernatural? Well, glory be to God. And they were confounded because they heard them speak in their own languages. And they're all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? How do we hear every man in our own tongue? You see that? If you were from France, you heard French. If you were a conehead. Remember the coneheads on Saturday Night Live? They're from France. They tried to pass themselves off as being from France so nobody would know they're from another planet. Wherever you were from, that fit in, didn't it? Wherever, no matter what they were speaking, you heard it. If you're from Belgium, like Maurice, and they were speaking in tongues, he heard it in Belgian. Amen? Hallelujah. Parthians and Medes and Elamites and the dwellers of Mesopotamia and Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia and Egypt and the parts of Libya about Cyrene and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes. Proselytes were converts. Cretes and Arabians, we hear them speak in our own tongue the wonderful works of God. They're all prophesying in tongues. And all these 16 nations are hearing it in their own language. Now that's supernatural. Hallelujah. God just drawing a little attention to Himself. Amen. They were amazed and in doubt, saying to one another, what in the world means this? Others mocked and said, they're full of new wine. Amen. They're snorting coke and drinking Michelob. Like your pastor used to, and doesn't anymore, because he moved on me and delivered me supernaturally for such a time as this. Hallelujah. And Peter stood up. Peter knew what to do, amen. Everybody stopped talking. Peter stood up and he speaks in the Hebrew tongue, and he's understood by people from 16 countries. He stood up with the 11 who were with him. He lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known unto you, and hearken to my words, for these are not drunken as you think, seeing it's just the third hour of the day. It's 9 o'clock in the morning. This is that. Please say, this is that. This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, which we just read. It shall come to pass in the last day, saith God, I'll pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men and women, I want to stop here. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. I want to get this in here. If you're a woman, prophesying is speaking by inspiration. It includes preaching. You can preach the gospel if you're a woman. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and my handmaidens, please say handmaidens. I hate that lie that women shouldn't preach the gospel as much as I hate the lie that there's more than one race of man. I'll pour out in those days of my spirit. They shall prophesy. See, and it's happening right here in Jerusalem. And I'll show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Skip down to verse 40. Look what Peter went on to say, what the Bible says about what Peter did. And with many other words did he testify and exhort. See, the people came running when they heard of the miraculous. And what did old Petey do? He jumped up. He had enough sense to preach the gospel to these people when they came running to hear the miracle, saying, save yourselves from this untoward or wicked generation. Then they that gladly received what Peter preached were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Listen, the outpouring of the glory, the supernatural and manifestation caused people to come running. Peter jumped up, preached the gospel. 3,000 people were saved by one sermon. When was the last time you saw that happen? That's going to happen around here. It is so because we say it is so. Because we believe Hosea. We believe Joel. Amen? We believe Zechariah. All those people, 3,000 people, one message. When the rain and the glory is poured out, people repent. And churches get big real quick. When the glory's poured out, people repent and churches get big real quick. We'll get there. Just keep living right. Don't look at the folks who are gone. They didn't want to live right, at least for now. We pray for them, godly soul. Hopefully they'll repent. They'll come back and join their faith with ours. Amen? But we don't look at who's not here. You're here. Listen to what God is saying to you. You're here. I'm here. We're here. We're living right. We qualify for the glory. Amen? Go to Acts chapter 3 real quick. Supernatural. Listen, all it takes is one miracle. One miracle in our midst. And people will be driving down here from Hampstead, New Hampshire. People will be driving down here from Burlington, Vermont. People will be driving over here from New York City. Did you hear me? People will be driving up here. Remember I said this, from Delaware. Delaware. Everyone say Delaware.
Delaware.
Delaware. Delaware. People come up here from Delaware. Yeah, I believe that. That came out of my spirit. Hallelujah. Just takes one miracle. Dr. Lester Summerall, Manila, Philippines, early 60s, cast a demon spirit out of one girl on Filipino national radio. One girl. And within 6 weeks, he water baptized 150,000 people in the ocean. They all came running to Manila. They heard him cast the girl, the spirit out of the girl, on Filipino national radio. One spirit out of one girl, 150 people came running. He had to get Oral Roberts to fly over there with his team and help him water baptize 150 people who he led to the Lord in 6 weeks. You think that can't happen here? Hallelujah. It's going to happen somewhere. It may as well happen here. That's my attitude, amen? And God says, I love that kind of talk. Hallelujah. We got to move through this Acts 3:1. Peter and John went up together into the temple at the house of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. He saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, and he asked for an alms. Are you there? And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look at me, or look at us." And he gave heed unto them. Please say expecting. Here's the key right there. Expecting to receive something of them. Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none." Doesn't mean he's poor. He didn't have any cash on him. Wasn't going to shopping. He's going to praying. Amen. I don't have any money on me, but what I do have, authority in Jesus' strong name, give I unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength. And the man, who was crippled for 40 years, leaping up, stood and walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew it was he who sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man, which was healed, held Peter and John, look at, all the people ran together unto them. They heard of the miracle, came running into the temple that is called Solomon's, and they were all greatly wondering. Go to Acts 4:4 real quick. Acts, flip the page and go to Acts 4:4. Peter again, he saw the people come running over one miracle. He had enough sense to jump up, use the miracle, and preach the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus. And Acts 4:4 says, "Howbeit, many of them which heard the word that Peter preached believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. Now Peter, just a few days before this, had jumped up, preached a sermon based on the outpouring of the Holy Spirit that sounded like a refinery exploding, and they're all enveloped in fire. People came running to see what was going on. He preached, he jumped up and preached a salvation message, led 3,000 people to the Lord. Here he did it again a couple of days later. One miracle, one man healed, people come running, Peter jumps up, preaches a salvation message, 5,000 people, just the men alone. That's 5,000, and 3,000 is 8,000. That's just the men alone. What if there were just, say, 2,000 women there? That's over 10,000 people. With the 120 that this started out with in Acts chapter 2 in the upper room, that's 10,120 people and two sermons and two miracles. We can handle that. We can get that job done. We just got to keep staying in position, keep being faithful, keep praying, keep preaching, keep being obedient, keep paying tithes and offerings, keep showing God you can trust me, God, when it's easy, and you can trust me when it's hard. You don't really think that God thinks he can trust me with 10,000 people if he can't trust me with 10. If I bail out on 10 people after a year and a half, what's God going to say to me now? All right, here's 5,000. You blew it with the 10. Let me give you 5,000. Would you think God's stupid? Amen. Somebody once said, "I don't pay my tithes right now. I can't afford to. But when God makes me a millionaire, I'll pay my tithes on the $1 million." And I said, You can't even prove to God that you'll faithfully pay tithes on 100. And you really think he's dumb enough to believe you'll pay tithes on a million? It's harder to pay tithes on $100 than it is on a million. When all you got's 100, it's easy to pay tithes on a million. It's hard to pay tithes on 100. If you won't pay tithes on $100 or $200, you don't really think he's going to give you a million or 2 million, do you? You're proving yourself unfaithful. I'm proving myself faithful. I am determined and have prayed for years, God, you put me right in the middle of whatever you're about to do in the earth. I don't care what they believe, what they don't believe. I don't care what the differences are. Put me right in the middle. Use me, Father, before I leave this earth, before I go off into eternity. Use me, Father, in the middle of whatever you're doing. Just let my life be worthy of leading hundreds of thousands, if not millions of souls to Jesus. Now I have to prove myself faithful. I've been proving myself faithful for the love of Mike for 20 years doing this, which you see right here. But preparation time is never wasted time. I'm being tested. I'm being proven. You're being tested. You're being proven. Do you believe that? Peter, 8,000 people, two sermons, two miracles. Go over to Acts chapter 5 real quick. We don't have a whole lot of time left here. Amen. You getting anything out of this? Hallelujah. Want to hear something the Lord said? Look at right here. Here. I didn't plan on doing this. You look up here. This is my last week's outline right here. You see, I preach out these little outlines right here. Did I ever show this to anybody? It's a trade secret. Don't tell anybody I have to kill you. See my outlines? See, I make them and I meditate on them for hours and hours and hours. And I come up and I preach out of them. You see what I'm doing? Look right here in the back. See this note right here? I was praying in here last Sunday morning. Myself and Barbara and Dorothy. Dorothy had come to prayer last Sunday morning. I was walking by the pulpit and I heard the voice of the Holy Spirit and my spirit say, I'll send your supporters now. You see that right there? I had my outline on the pulpit. I flipped it over. Got a pen from Barbara. Wrote that right on there. 10:07, 10:19:08. I'll send your supporters now. I wanted to say, finally. But I said, thank you, sir. Thank you, sir.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'll send. I'm having to step up by faith and tell you this. Amen. But I want God to know I believe him. He won't make a fool out of me. And he won't make a fool out of you. You see the note right there I made? 10:19:08, 10:07 p.m. I'll send you supporters now. Now? 20 years of pastoring small groups of people. I'll send you supporters now. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sums up. Sums up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I just kept on preaching. When it looked like everybody's going to die and I'm going to be the last person left in the world standing here looking like a clown with a necktie on. Acts chapter 5. Yeah, am I making sense to anybody besides Barbara up here tonight? Is it night or day? What is it? I don't even know anymore. All I know is I'm in the Holiday Inn and I'm preaching. It's where I'm supposed to be. Amen. Hallelujah. Should get put a cot in here. Acts 5, and by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. 12. You don't tell us what verses you're reading when you take the offering. Why do I have to tell? Everybody there? Just capitalizing on Barbara's mistake this morning. You know, it's called making someone else bad to make yourself look good. Don't ever do it. It doesn't work. Amen? And by the hands, verse 12, of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. See, miracles, miracles, miracles. And they're all with one accord. Here again, one accord. No lukewarmness, no sin here. Amen. They're all living right. They're all in one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. Let's talk about the phonies who weren't hooking up with them. You have to read it in context about Ananias and Sapphira in the verses before. We won't do that. Verse 14, and believers, look at this, were the more added to the Lord. You see what happened? Hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders wrought. And the believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women. Here's another example. The glory's poured out. They all come together in one accord. Because they come together in one accord, releasing their faith, multitudes of men and women get saved. Insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets, laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. And there came also a multitude out of what? Whole cities here. You see this? We pass by this in reading sometimes. Whole cities came out because of the miracles that were occurring. Multitudes out of the cities round about into Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed, every one. They came to see the miracles. The pastor jumps up and preaches salvation, and multitudes get saved. We're talking about the early soft rain. Not the latter heavy rain. And this is heavy stuff. Amen? But this is minor compared to what Hosea and Joel
in Zechariah, in Haggai, in Isaiah, and Jesus said, is coming in your lifetime. Everybody say, woo! I'll accept that. Go to Acts chapter 8. I'm telling you, the glory's coming. We're preaching right along here, a couple of weeks back on the subject of miracles. And you recall, I began to prophesy. The Lord speaking through me said, make much of the glory. Make much of the glory. He told me to shift gears from where you are and start teaching on the glory. Aren't you glad I was ready to do it when He told me to do it? I didn't have to stop and prepare. I prepared to do this for whenever He was going to give me instruction to do it. I was all good to go. Because I believe if no opportunity knocks, if opportunity knocks and you got to stop and prepare, you're already too late. I was ready to do this. And the Lord knew I was ready to do it. He knew He could call on me to do it. And He knows He can call on me to pass to 10, 100, 1,000, or 10,000. And I'm going to stay in place and I'm going to do what He tells me to do. How about you? Hallelujah. Acts chapter 8. It's coming. The glory is coming. It's going to be greater than what we're reading here. Amen? Come on, we'll go through this quickly. You're doing good this morning. Amen? Keeping up with me. Hallelujah. Look at Philip. By the way, Philip started out as a deacon. And we're going to read something here. An astounding miracles that happened in his... He started out as a deacon, as an usher. And he was so faithful to do whatever the pastor asked him to do. So faithful, whether he agreed or understood or not, he just did what needed to be done. God promoted him to the office of the evangelist with spectacular miracles following. He started out taking an offering. Waiting on tables, setting up the chairs, loading up the sound system. Well, they didn't have a sound system then, did they? Hallelujah. You know what I'm saying. Philip went down. I just want you to see. You go read about him in Acts chapter 6. His ministry of helps. And look what happens to him. He gets his name put in the Bible as an outstanding evangelist. He went down to the city of Samaria, preached Christ unto them, and the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spoke, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voices, came out of many that were possessed with them. Many that were taken with palsies, that's crippled, and those who were lame were healed. And there was great joy in the city. He preached the gospel. The glory fell. And there was great joy in the city. What causes great joy? People being saved. What causes people to be saved? The preaching of the gospel. What causes people to come and hear the preaching of the gospel? Miracles. The glory being poured out. You see this? This is the early rain. This is the soft spring rain. The book of Acts is a blueprint. It's the Blue Testament. It's a blueprint for the way we are to be living today. You know, there's no glory being poured out for the most part because most people don't know a whole lot about the glory. Churches who know about the glory, who are properly taught about the glory, cooperate with the glory and you see the glory poured out. How come we're not seeing more miracles, Pastor? Because you're not cooperating with the glory. I tell people when they do, I say, it's your fault. I'm doing my part. You're apparently not doing your part. Bill, you wouldn't ask me such an ignorant question. So you don't know about the glory. You're not studying the glory. So you can't cooperate with the glory. You're not believing for the glory. So you're asking me why the glory is not being poured out. And I tell them, it's your fault. It's your fault. Hallelujah. Say, it ain't my fault. Because you're cooperating with the glory. Amen? Hallelujah. Blueprint for revival right here. The book of Acts is the pattern for us to follow. Go to Acts chapter 9. Last one we'll look at. Amen? Hallelujah. Hoo-hoo. People come a-running when the glory, the rain, the miracles, and the goodness of God is poured out. Amen? The book of Acts is a pattern for us to follow. We got to believe God to pour out His glory, and then things will start happening. You know what? Let me just bring you a word of correction. May I do that? I shouldn't have to ask you so much to lift your hands. And I bet after making that statement today, I won't have to. Amen? Hallelujah. See, and God's just confirming it with angel music from heaven that you ought to be lifting your hands without being encouraged. Amen? You hear those chimes from heaven. That's the Holy Spirit saying, listen to the man. Hallelujah. Okay, it's okay. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I take it as confirmation. Amen? Let's lift our hands. That's all right. Praise the Lord. It wasn't on purpose. Amen. People know to shut their cell phones off in church. Sometimes we forget. Amen. It's okay. I forget to turn mine on after church. And then I look 3 days later, and they got a whole lineup of calls there. We really shouldn't have to be encouraged to lift our hands. We should just be doing it constantly. It'll cause an outpouring of glory. It'll cause an outpouring of glory. Amen. Okay, one more. Acts chapter 9. Say, Pastor. You're not going to have to ask me to lift my hands anymore. I'm just going to do it. So everybody watch your head. Because my hands are going up. Without notice. Amen. God loves that. God loves that. God loves that. It's pleasing to Him. Acts 9, verse 32. It came to pass. This is the last one we'll read. Came to pass as Peter, you know, if you get sickness in your body right now, you just receive God's healing. You just receive it right now. Just lift your hands right now and you just receive what you need in your body because His glory is present. When we come together, there's more glory present than when we're alone. We're living stones building up the house of God. Amen. Just lift your hands now. Listen, you're never going to bother me if you lift your hands, stand up and praise God while I'm preaching. Amen. You do what you need to do. If the Holy Ghost moves on you to begin to praise God, you do that. He'll meet your need. Amen. As it came to pass, as Peter passed throughout all quarters, he came down also to the saints which dwelt at Lydda. And there he found a certain man named Aeneas, which had kept his bed 8 years and was sick of the palsy. If you had the palsy for 8 years, you'd be sick of it too. He's on that bed for 8 years. And Peter said unto him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Arise and make thy bed. And he arose immediately. And all, please say all. All that dwelt at Lydda and Saron saw him and turned to the Lord. You see what happened right there? One little crippled dude got healed and two entire cities came to Jesus. That's what happens when the glory is poured out, if you'd like to stand up. This is the former rain. This is the soft rain, the spring rain, the early rain. What are we going to see with the fall rain, the end time rain, the last days rain, even in the natural? When the harvest rain comes, it pours. It pours. And the outpouring of natural rain always results in tremendous harvest. We are about to partake of a great outpouring of spiritual rain, spiritual glory, spiritual goodness, and it's going to result in great abundance of souls, harvest of souls. Amen? Listen, these people didn't have satellite systems. They didn't have radio, cable TV. They didn't have printing presses, magazines, newspapers, bus systems, connecting flights. And look at all the people that are getting saved around the area of little old Jerusalem. We got all those things. Hallelujah. We lift our hands. Let's lift our hands. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I officially renamed this church the Hand Lifting Church. Amen. The Hand Lifting Church at Cape Cod. Amen. That'll be our subtitle. The Gathering at Cape Cod. Also known as the Hand Lifting Church at Cape Cod. Amen. Just keep praising Him. We can have what they had. Amen. Only we can have more than they ever dreamed of. Haggai said, the glory of the latter house will be greater than the former. And the former was tremendous. Zechariah said, just ask for the rain in the time of the latter rain, and I'll make bright clouds open and pour my goodness out upon you. Oh, just worship God this morning for His goodness being poured out in your life, your family's life, your church, your community. We ought to be walking around expecting the glory, expecting the goodness. Yes, miracles for ourselves. Yes, miracles for our loved ones. Expect, expect, Expectation, it is the secret to life. Expectation, expecting God to move in our lives as individuals, as families, as a church corporately, and as a body in the earth. Father, we thank you for the glory. We asked you for the glory, Father, this morning according to Zechariah chapter 10. Father, you promised in the last days that the early and the latter rain would be combined. And James said we would see the greatest outpouring of souls in the history of humanity. And Father, the gathering believes it, God. Oh, we believe it, Father. We're not moved by what we're not seeing. We're not moved by what we are seeing. We're moved by your word. We're moved by your word, Father. As you said earlier, Father, we needed to learn the word of faith. We needed to learn the word of glory so we could all get on the same page and release our faith and give you occasion to move in the earth. Father, we praise you for the former and the latter rain combined. God, I'm excited. I'm excited. I'm excited because I know if I can be used of God to raise your faith for the glory, we will see the glory. Father, we commit in this church to never have to be instructed to lift our hands again. To never have to be asked to lift our hands again. That doesn't mean I won't ask. It doesn't mean I won't instruct. It just means I'll turn around and I'll look and they'll be lifting hands and praising God without having to be asked to, Father. Now these people are God praises, Father. I know they don't take me the wrong way and neither do you. But we all need to lift our hands more, including the pastor and his wife. And we're committed to doing that because you said through the Apostle Paul, it is my will that men and women everywhere lift holy hands without wrath and without doubt. Oh God, we come together in one accord this morning to praise you. Thank you for the glory, not just for us, Father, but for the lost. The lost of our community, the lost of our state, of our country, the lost of this earth, Father. In the name of Jesus, Father, thank you. Thank you. Father, we believe you for miracles. 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 Because they're the dinner bell to salvation, Father. They open the spout where the lost souls come pouring out, Father. We ask you to manifest yourself in our midst, God. Supernaturally, in this congregation, to where word gets out. God's moving over there at the gathering. And they'll come running, Father, and we'll lead them to Jesus just like Peter did. Father, oh, we see in Scripture, Lord, one miracle, two miracles, and entire cities coming to Jesus. And that's the early rain. Father, Brother Summerall cast a demon out of one human being and baptized in water and led to the Lord 150,000 human beings. Father, it's time. It's time, and we're putting our faith on it, God. Well, no longer will we just put our faith on our own personal needs, God. We put our faith on the glorious outpouring of the latter rain, Father. Bring them in, Father. Bring them in, Father, and we'll teach them and we'll clean them up. And we'll point them to Jesus, Father. Oh, we'll get them established in the Word. In Jesus' strong name. Amen. Do you believe that? Yes. Hallelujah.